This episode of Knights of Degradation may not be suitable for children or impressionable adults. Listener discretion is advised.
Joining us this evening. My name is Cole. I'll be your dungeon master for this adventure, and together we are the Knights of Degradation. Now, we're going to get to the adventure here quick, but first let me tell you a little bit about the world we will be adventuring in. It's a scattered world, a divided world. Long ago, this large but secluded peninsula was ruled over by a great and powerful king. Some enjoyed life under the rule of this monarchy, however, many did not. Those who didn't started what became a very long and very violent revolution against the old king. They didn't want to just remove the monarchy's power, they wanted to erase it from history. And they succeeded. However, there was an unfortunate casualty in this revolution. You see, the rebellion went too far. They closed too many universities, they burnt too many books, they destroyed too many monuments, and before they knew it, not only did they erase the entire history of the monarchy, they also erased the history of the land that they fought so hard for. Now, the only way for knowledge to be passed down was through word of mouth. But after so many generations, the truth had become skewed, and nobody could discern what was fact and what was folklore. The remaining monuments and landmarks stand in vain, as nobody knows what they are supposed to mean or represent. Nobody knows exactly why the forest to the north is so dangerous. Nobody knows for sure if elves, these once regal and noble people, transformed into hideous, mindless savages, even really exist, or if they were just a story made up to scare children. And it didn't help that the rebellion could not stay unified. Eventually, they split into two groups and fought. And then those groups split and fought, and they continued to split and fight again and again until everybody was simply on their own. This has also caused a severe lack of tradesmen. You see, our treasure is not gold and jewels, but old books and ancient knowledge. And those with that knowledge, like blacksmiths, wizards, or doctors, are not likely to teach it to others. Usually, when someone is discovered to possess such knowledge, they are either treated as gods in the hope that they will share it, or hunted down and slaughtered out of envy. Now, despite all these major issues, things are actually starting to look up. Recently, a wealthy merchant has amassed a large army and declared himself the new king. He has created an expansive trade route that makes it easier and safer for small towns to get access to basic goods and services. He works hard to make life good for anyone that follows his rule. However, those who resist or aren't willing to move to a town or city that is in the trade route are forced to fend for themselves. Some have chosen to go along with the new king, and some have chosen to resist him, even going so far as to attack and loot his caravans. This is just the foundation for a world that will continue to grow and evolve as we explore it together, both us as players and you as listeners. Now, that's enough talk out of me. I do hope you enjoy the first of what is to be many adventures from the Knights of Degradation. So let's go ahead and get started. First, why don't we go around a little bit? You guys can tell us a little bit about yourselves personally, and then tell us a little bit about your characters. And we'll start with Gage and just kind of go around the table. So let's hear it, brother.
I'm Gage, 23. Honestly, I'm an aspiring filmmaker. I play D&D in my pastimes for the last probably close to 10 years now. I'm pretty excited to get this started. just, you know, that's it about me for now. But my character's name is Barlow Var. He's a 25-year-old grave domain cleric and a devout follower of the current god of death, Kellum Vor. He's a friend to everything living, a companion to all dying, and a bitter, unyielding enemy to any who would tip the balancing scales.
And I am Dale Madison. I'm approximately 25 years old, give or take, depending on the time of day. And I'm a aspiring voice actor, been doing theater-type things for quite a little while now, since college. And I've been playing D&D for about 7 years. Now my character, Cavagal, bear wrestler. He's a 20-year-old Goliath barbarian. He watches over his friends as if they were a litter of newborn pups. He believes that life is like the seasons in constant change, and that we must change with it. And he will bring a terrible wrath down on the evildoers who destroyed his homeland. But don't expect him to save those who can't save himself.
Well, I'm John, and I do photography sometimes. Otherwise, I have been playing D&D for under a year. So still pretty new at it. My character's name is Griff. He's a dragonborn fighter, and let's see, a red dragon, that's right. Otherwise, currently he's early 20s, he's about 24, and yeah.
Well, okay. Well, I am extremely excited to sort of build a world and adventure with all you guys, and I think we'll just get right down to it. So would you guys mind rolling initiative? We're going to start with everybody sort of separate, kind of in the middle of your travels. And we're going to go from there. Let's see what happens.
15. I have a total of 20. Not natural.
18.
18. All right. Looks like we're going to start with you, Cavagal.
Cavagal, right? Yes. Right.
So I'll probably call you by your real names for a little bit until I get used to your actual character name. So forgive me if I mess it up a little bit. So Cavagal, you've been traveling for a little bit. And, you know, as we talked before, the world is just so disjointed that you never know if you're going to come across the town, what kind of town it's going to be, what's going on. So you just sort of got to go somewhere and wait to see what you find. And one of the things you find as you're traveling just through the general wilderness is this really, really small community. And you've been traveling for a while, and you're looking for a place to kind of take a break a little bit, maybe get a load off. So that's kind of where we're going to start as you enter this sort of hamlet of a town.
Okay. Is there any buildings that look, you know, exactly like what I would expect a tavern or a inn to look like?
Quite, yeah. There's a couple larger buildings that you can see, especially some people congregating around. Specifically, there's sort of what I can only describe as like an outdoor tavern. It's basically just a building with this big kind of shabby-looking lean-to built on it, but there's tables and there's people sitting at the tables drinking and eating and things like that.
Okay, well, I will venture forward and Cavagal will kind of collapse his elbows, collapse his fingers around his fists, and just kind of nod at the bartender.
Okay, he kind of gives you a suspicious look, sort of like, huh, that's odd, and purposefully kind of gives you a sort of a cold shoulder and goes to help somebody else. We'll just do like a general perception.
Here we go. 9.
9? Well, it doesn't seem as weird, I guess, as you might have thought. So, that's pretty much it. Everyone's kind of doing their own thing. If you look around, you can see a few people sort of staring at you, but when your eyes meet, they kind of look back down and stuff like that. You're definitely a lot bigger than anybody else here. This is kind of a mixture of humans and halflings and dwarves and gnomes and things like that. Not a lot of people your size.
Okay.
For sure.
I'll kind of clear my throat.
As soon as you do that, any bit of, like, conversation just stops, and it gets awkwardly quiet, and everyone just kind of looks at you. And then the bartender, who's kind of a chubbier, balding human, kind of throws towel over his shoulder, walks up to you. What?
I'd like to buy a drink.
Okay. That's it. He's just staring right at you. Exactly as awkward as you think, as it is right now.
Cavagal, look over his shoulder at the townsfolk inside, kind of give him a sly smile, and then look back at the bartender. How much for a drink?
I can't serve you, man. You must know that.
I'm not asking again.
Okay, go ahead and roll like an intimidate or something, I guess. If you so choose.
Yeah. Oh, that's a first nat 20 of the game.
Oh, shit. Yes, sir. What would you like?
An ale, please.
You got it. One second. And he kind of goes into this little door that's back into the side of the building. And then after maybe about 15 seconds, he comes back out with this really large pitcher of ale and is sort of, now that he's sort of scared, he gets it to you and sets it down and just sort of backs away a little bit.
How much?
Don't worry about it, man. You're fine, big guy. Yeah, you're good. Don't worry about it.
Cavagal will flip a couple gold coins onto the table.
Okay. Sort of like, well, like, thought maybe you're going to throw something at him. And then he sort of goes back over to the group he was with initially, and they kind of chit-chat just for a little bit.
Does Cavagal notice anything peculiar in this tavern, other than the people giving him odd glances? And
yeah, that's the real big thing, right, is everyone's just sort of making you feel like an outsider, which you absolutely kind of are, just based on appearance only. But really, that's about it. This just seems like a really awkward sort of people.
I'll go to the closest person. Doesn't matter who it is. Go to the closest person, kind of spill my drink onto my stubble and beard. Fine ale, isn't it?
So the closest person is just another sort of younger, maybe guy in his late 20s, early 30s, just like a young kid. You can tell he's sort of a day laborer. He's kind of dirty and, you know, looks like he just got done with a hard day of work. He's like, yeah, man, whatever you say. And sort of like purposely trying not to make eye contact with you.
What's the matter? You afraid of somebody so tall?
No, man, I just, I don't want to break the rules, is all.
Oh, come on. It's either break the rules or be broken yourself.
I don't want either of those things, brother. I don't, and roll another perception.
That's, 19.
19? There's substantially less people here right now than there were about 30 seconds ago when you first walked in. It seems a few people have kind of cleared out, and the people who are remaining are, again, just noticeably uncomfortable, and especially this sort of young gentleman you're talking to.
Okay, I'll lean into the young gentleman. What's really going on here?
Nothing, man. I don't want any trouble. Like I said, you're cool with breaking the rules, and that's fine, but that's not something. I'm okay with.
I'm not cool with breaking the rules. I'm not cool with unfair rules.
I unfair and fair. That's not up to me, man. I don't make the rules. We just follow them. I think I gotta go. But it was nice to meet you. And he starts to sort of scuttle away.
Cavagal wipes his beard from the ale froth on the very tips of his whiskers and takes a couple steps outside of the tavern.
Okay, as soon as you do that, you hear sort of this piercing whistle, like as soon as you step out into the sunlight, and there's a couple of larger men, like, approaching you directly, and they're about 30 feet or so away, but one of them's pointing right at you and, like, pointing at the other one like this, like, yeah, that's him, and they're heading that way, right towards you.
Cavagal smiles and shakes his head.
Okay, well, they get right up to you, and this is like this old burly guy, and you instantly can assume that he's very excited over any little amount of power that he might have in any aspect of his life. He's just absolutely full of shit. Hey, excuse me. I'm going to need you to come with me.
What for?
Seems that we've gotten a couple complaints about you in your short time here, and actually I can already tell that you're breaking the law, so I'm going to need you to come with us.
What have I done wrong? What have I done that no everyone else hasn't already done?
How tall are you?
7 foot something. Yeah. I'm not good with numbers.
Yeah. Look around. Do you see anyone else that tall?
So it's illegal to be tall.
It's sinful.
What else is sinful?
No.
Pounding your face into the ground.
That absolutely would be sinful.
So we don't have a problem here then, yes?
Oh, we absolutely have a problem here, big fella. And so we'll say a few of the other guys have kind of surrounded you a little bit. I would say there's about 9 people total, 9 guys. None of them over 6 foot.
Look, fellas, I just wanted a drink. I've been traveling all day. He let me go on my way, and nobody has to get hurt.
It's not the way it works, big fella. And we'll say he's even getting, like, pointy, right in your chest. You're gonna come with me, and that's that. Or, and then as soon as he says or, and say six of the nine start to sort of pull out what you can see as weapons. Swords.
As a Goliath, my great axe, is that Goliath great axe, or is that, like, these people great axe?
I mean, I guess it'd be Goliath great axe, right? So bigger than the average great axe, probably, okay. If it was made by you or other Goliaths. Not enough to, like, do extra damage or anything like that.
Right. I imagine I have it, like, strapped to my back in some sort of way, and I'll just kind of insinuate with it, putting my hand around the handle.
Yeah.
Is this really what this is coming to?
Well, as soon as you even start to, like, reach to grab a hold of it, one of the six people who kind of started pulling out their swords absolutely does pull his out and just swipes, like, but he just whiffs it and, like, misses you completely and then just kind of looks at you with this, like, oh, shit sort of face.
I'll kind of, maybe as a reaction or, I don't know, just to kind of, for rule of cool, go to kick the blade or whatever it is out of his hand and just let it clatter to the ground.
Okay. I guess roll a strength. I won't make you roll, like, to hit or anything. Right. I'll say you can get it. Just see if you're strong enough to kick it out of his hands.
18 plus 4.
Oh, absolutely. It just, like, we'll say he, like, lunged at you and missed and kind of hit the ground and looked up, and then you just kicked it right out of his hands. And he just, and then he looks at the guy who's been talking, like, his boss, like, what do I do?
Now, gentlemen, this could either go one of two ways. Way one, I go about my merry way, and there doesn't have to be blood spilt on your lovely little hamlet streets. Way two, somebody else pulls a weapon on me, and then the blood starts flying.
I'm trying to think of what you would roll here.
What is it you want me to do?
My lack of...
That'd be intimidate, right?
No, I'm not thinking for that. Thinking for, like, a save, like a constitution save, maybe.
Okay.
For, what's that? So basically what happens, like, right when you get done talking, you feel this sort of prick in the back of your neck.
Oh, interesting. Oh, gosh. Is that a nat one?
Looks to be. Oh, fella. Sweet. So I guess I don't got to worry about it. As soon as you get done talking, you instantly feel this sort of pain in the back of your neck, and you sort of feel kind of woozy, and you maybe turn around, and you see that bartender there with this little like blowgun looking apparatus, and he's just smiling real big at you, and everything starts to get real hazy for you.
Oh.
And then we'll say the guy who's been talking to you all the time is like, option three, I guess your big ass is going to fall down.
Would this be a good time to rage?
I have no idea. That's entirely up to you. I was like, not to meta here, but a nat one means that you're going to have a hard time,
right,
a hard
right.
time coming out of whatever's happening to you. So
that's the absolute worst outcome.
Okay, well, I'm not going to rage just yet.
Okay.
I will let whatever poison or malfeasance is taking hold, I'll allow it to run its course.
Okay. Well, for the sake, we're just going to say you kind of get even groggier until you pass out.
Okay.
We'll leave it at that. So I think, John, you had the next highest, or Griff, you had the next highest, right?
Yes.
Okay. So sort of the same thing as with Cavagal, right? Your adventures have kind of brought you to this sort of just odd-looking, not really odd, but sort of shanty town, hamlet, if you will, sort of town. And you've been traveling for quite some time, and there really hasn't been a town anywhere near this like you've expected. So you're really looking for a place to maybe sleep, a place to get something to eat, stuff like that. So we'll start with you kind of entering this town. And, you know, you're a dragonborn, and we talked a little bit about how rare dragonborns can be and maybe how frightening they could be. And I think you're, no matter where you go, you sort of expect not the warmest welcome. But we'll go ahead and start with you sort of just entering this town, you know, dirt roads, like I said, shanty sort of buildings. Looks like they were built by people who really had no idea what they were doing.
Is this the same town?
It would be, yeah, it is the same. It is the same town, not to get meta, but yes.
Oh, man.
It is the same town.
Is this where I bring up I'm 8 foot tall?
What? Are you 8 foot tall?
I am 8 foot tall.
Oh, damn, I thought you were shorter than than Cavagal.
No.
Well, you're going to have some problems.
I'm going to have some problems. Yeah, I would say that's what I made my notes when I was comparing it to the player's handbook, is I could be up to 8 foot, or it was like, I can't remember what exactly it was, but either way, 8 foot was something that was acceptable. So Jesus. I was like, I'm okay with this.
So if I need to party wipe you guys, like just a normal doorway, we'll probably do that, right?
All right, well, I'm going to go ahead and I guess, what time of day are we looking at?
It's like late afternoon.
Well, I guess I'm going to look for an inn, and hopefully I can intimidate them to let me stay the night.
Alrighty, so go ahead and like just roll a perception. And what's your, not that we're going to get to combat or anything, but what's your AC?
I think it's 19.
Okay.
I only have 12 health, though. I don't know how that happened. I'm not really happy about it, but that's where we're at.
I mean, we are level one, so.
Lowest I've started with, though. Alright, so roll for perception.
Yep.
What do you add to perception? Anything?
Be your wisdom, and if you're proficient in it, your proficiency bonus.
Nope. It's zero, so 12.
12? Okay. Well, you kind of walking around, and you can't really see anything that stands out like an inn. Most of these just look like really crappy built buildings, except for this sort of bar-looking thing, like an outdoor sort of gazebo, like I kind of explained earlier, like a large building with a lean-to sort of out there and people out in the open, you know, eating and drinking, and there seems to be quite a few people there.
All right, I'm going to go over happily. I'll say I don't know any better, so.
Okay.
I'll say I'm going to go ahead and walk inside, and what am I greeted with when I get in there?
So when you walk in, there's just this complete awkwardness, not because of kind of what Cavagal went through, what you just saw. I mean, you care to know what was going on there, but sort of kind of the opposite. No one's really taking much notice to you, and the people that do are just like smiling real big and maybe like waving. We'll say there's even some children there who are like, ah.
That's awesome. And that's
really odd to you because that's not something you're used to.
But it's welcome. I'm happy.
Yeah.
I'll say it's good to find a place that loves me. Say, but all right, well, I'm going to go up and get a drink. Might as well enjoy it.
So, okay, so as you walk up to the bar, as soon as you get there, you're greeted by, hands down, the most friendly bartender you've ever seen. He sits a drink down on the table and just slides it right at you. He's like, best drink in the house, on me.
What's what? He look like?
He's kind of a chubbier, balding bartender.
Oh, man.
Good, I'm going to enjoy this drink. I mean, it looks like the best drink in the house.
Or so I've been told.
Well, very nice bartender. I really appreciate the nice drink, and could you tell me if I needed to get some rest tonight where I could go?
No, I mean, we have some rooms upstairs you're welcome to stay in if you like.
Sure,
I'm sure anyone here would open their doors up to you. We're a pretty nice community.
I'm very glad to hear that. It seems like a real nice community. Well, I mean, I've already had a drink. Say, I guess I need to get some food, and then I'm going to go ahead and call it a night.
Okay. So, and you know, you kind of tell him, like, oh, I'm, you know, you want some food and stuff. So he's like, oh, I'll get you the best thing ever. Hold on one second. Kind of goes to the back. As you're waiting on him, you're just kind of like, oh, this is nice. I mean, people not screaming and running from me for a change and wondering what the hell I am. You feel this, like, little poke on your leg.
I assume I look down. What is poking me in the leg?
It's a little girl. She's, like, poking you in the leg and, like, is looking up at you and smiling real big.
And what are you doing, little one?
You're red.
I am. Yes, that's true. All right, scurry along.
And, like, you know, kind of, like, does the little kid thing, and she had, like, a group of friends. Like, I did it, and then they, like, run away and stuff. A few more, you know, moments go by, and the bartender brings out this steaming hot meal. Like, can't really tell what kind of meat, but a pretty good-looking piece of meat with some vegetables. Big fella like you must work up quite an appetite.
Definitely. This looks delicious. Thank you so much.
Yeah, enjoy. I won't bother you. I don't want to ruin your evening, but you enjoy. You need anything at all, let me know. It gives you a little awkward wink.
Awkward wink, okay. I'll definitely let you know. Just remember what room I'm in.
You got it. Oh, yeah. Let me get you a key, actually.
Awesome.
Kind of scurries off a little bit.
See, I'm going to enjoy this just best dish in the whole city.
It's okay. It's not like green.
So well gristly.
Meat's a little gristly, but it's pretty good for like a podunk farm town, I guess.
Well, I mean, for as long as it's been since I've had a meal like this, it's the best I've ran into, at least in this place.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so let's say it takes you like a good like 20 or so minutes, because, you know, you're a dragon, but you're not a beast, right? You're kind of eating, being fair polite enough, and everything, and the whole time, you're like looking around, and people are making eye contact and waving at you, and no one's really approaching you other than the kid, but everyone just seems really happy to have you around.
That's always good. Well, I guess I'll go up to my room and just call it a night.
Okay. So it's kind of, you know, he showed you, like, a stairs around back, and as you're walking up the stairs, will you roll a saving throw for me? Constitution.
It'd be a 17.
A 17? Okay. As you're going up the stairs, you feel kind of woozy a little bit, almost like you got vertigo as you're going up the stairs. It's just a little hot, like, it doesn't happen usually.
Well, guess I'm going to make sure I use the handrail so I don't take some damage, because that doesn't sound fun. I guess I'm just a lightweight right now. I haven't had ale in a minute. I mean, I was on a long adventure. I did drink it before I ate. I mean, it happens. Well, I guess I'll just continue my way up to the room, though.
Okay. Well, yeah, you kind of get up, and there's two rooms there, and they're labeled, so you go into yours, and it's just this really tiny, like, probably smaller than what we're in. There's room for maybe a full-size bed that you're not going to fit all the way in. But
I'll rest my head right on the bed. That's what matters. I'm ready to call it a night there.
Okay. Well, yeah, it's kind of dark out now, so, yeah, we'll just go ahead and say you clock in for the night or clock out for the night. I don't know which one. And we'll go from there.
All right.
We're going to jump over to Barlow. Your start is a little bit different. See, what had happened is you had been traveling for a little bit, and you came across this sort of little hamlet town, and you immediately wanted to find a place to get something maybe to eat or something to drink. So you saw this little, we'll call it like a little lean-to, sort of the same thing I've been describing. I won't be cute about it. But you get there, and, you know, you get some food, and everyone's totally normal. You know, you're kind of fitting in, mostly humans, like yourself. You're not over 6 foot tall, are you?
Six even.
Oh, that's so perfect for you. So, yeah, you just kind of get in there, and people are generally nice. But then you pull out your book, kind of the thing we had talked about. You pull out your book, and you start reading it. And you literally heard some, like, gasping when you did it. And as you started reading it, these gentlemen had come up to you and basically told you that that's not okay. And that's sort of against the way they do things there, maybe using the phrase sinful and pagan and things like that. For the sake of time, I don't want to kind of roleplay your character for you, but they asked you to come with them, and you maybe thought it was just a good idea to do it.
Well, I'm lawful neutral. I probably would have just gone along with it anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. I won't like play your character for a while, but eventually they took you to this sort of, still this shanty building, but there were steps going down, and there are cells down there. And as far as you know, you've been under arrest for reading in public. And that's where we're going to start with you inside a jail cell. There's like five little cells there, period. Right now, it's just you in there. And that's just where we'll kick things off.
Okay.
Tell us what you're doing. Again, sorry to like play your character for a little bit.
Am I in the cell, or are they just asking me to go in?
Nope. They said, hey, get in. Maybe we're a little rough with you because they're just dicks, I guess. Okay. But that's it. And they shut it and locked it. And there's like a little bit of hay on the ground, mostly like rusted metal bars, like kind of the quintessential basement torture chamber looking Silence of the Lambs thing.
I'll kind of say to myself, well, I guess I'll have to get a list of the laws when I get out of here. I'm going to kind of look around and see, you know, the sights, if it's lit, if there's other living things down here, you know, that sort of thing.
Okay, go ahead and roll a perception.
10, even.
Well, yeah, you kind of look around, and it's pretty, like I said, it's pretty empty for the most part. You can see like a pile of something over in the cell across from you. There's just like a pile of maybe dirt and clothes or something like that. But that's really all you kind of gain from it. Other than that, it's really kind of boring looking.
They didn't take anything from me, did they?
Nope, they left you anything you had on your person. Didn't take anything.
Are there chairs at all, or is it just, no, there's nothing?
Nope, just kind of a dirt-ish floor, maybe with a little bit of like concrete mixed in, and then these bars, and that's it.
So it's underground?
Yeah, underground. Okay.
I'll probably go to the farthest corner of one of the cells, like farthest from the door, just kind of lean up against either the stone or the bars or whatever there is there.
Okay.
And I'll just start thumbing through my book, you know, just kind of reading. Okay. Not out loud, but definitely reading.
You maybe want to tell us, like, what that book is specifically, or as much as you want to tell us at this point.
So the book that Barlow is carrying is a sacred text for his faith, the god of death, Kelimvor. It's a religious text carrying things like prayers, not so much spells or anything like that, but it's more like a devotee's book. It's a very sacred text. There's only a handful of them that he's carrying around. It's not small. It's not like, for lack of a better word, I guess, not like Bible small. It's bigger. It's more like a tome, I guess. So it takes both hands to hold open, if that makes sense. So,
well, cool. I just wanted to be able to get like a mental image of what it is you're reading.
And it's, you know, there's no like imagery on it or anything outside. There's the emblem of Kelimvor, and it's bounded leather. That's it.
Okay. Well, cool. Well, yeah, I mean, you read that, and we'll see maybe, well, we won't say really how much time passes. A decent amount of time passes. You came in sort of in the morning, and it's sort of late at night now. And then you hear sort of the door open, and you can hear what sounds like hundreds of feet coming down the stairs kind of in a hurry, and you hear, oh, God, this son of a bitch is heavy and stuff. You see what looks to be about 9 to 12 men carrying this just giant person down these stairs who barely fit in the first place. They're trying to, like, shove him down and get him into there, and eventually they just kind of drop him a little bit. He might hit and slide down the stairs, and then they go back and pick him up again and just sort of slide him into one of the cells. We'll say the furthest one apart from you.
Okay.
And he's just kind of, he looks like he's been, like, knocked unconscious.
Okay.
And they just sort of leave him in there. Okay. Shut the gate.
I'll keep the book open and just kind of look up from it, kind of, like, scanning the situation as it happens, but not necessarily, like, caring, you know? Criminals get thrown in jail all the time. This is just, you know, kind of a natural thing. So I'll watch them do it and not really participate, you know, just kind of serve my sentence, you know?
Well, sweet. Well, again, we'll say some more time passes, maybe not as much, and this hulking man kind of starts to kind of come to, and of course it's Kavagal, so we'll start with you kind of becoming conscious in this sort of jail cell, looking across and seeing this human. I keep burping, I'm really sorry. That's trying okay. Not to do it into the mic. This sort of, you know, this human just kind of sitting there reading a book, really not paying you any mind.
What the hell's going on? Why am I here?
You're in jail, you? Friend.
What did I do?
I couldn't tell you, but I'm here too, so apparently I did something wrong just as you did.
You sound clueless as to what you did.
I was reading a book, and then I got escorted to a cell, and here I am.
Injustice.
I don't know. That's, I haven't read their laws yet, so maybe.
I will say you are bound, your hands are tied, and all of your equipment is missing.
Oh, goody.
We'll say your weapons. Okay. We'll say your weapons are missing.
Okay. There's not much else.
Yeah. Well, I didn't want to take away any, like, family heirlooms or anything, but yeah, your weapons are missing specifically.
Okay.
And maybe we'll even say, just for the sake of conversation, you notice his aren't. If you have any weapons on you.
Yeah.
Yeah, his aren't.
There's clearly something about me they didn't like, because they let you, supposedly some sort of criminal, bring your weapons into this jail cell, but they didn't let me.
Like I said, honestly, I couldn't tell you. All I know is that we're both in here together.
How sweet.
Very. I'm kind of, like, still eyeing you from the book, not really paying you my full attention.
Kavagel gets the message. Kind of turns his shoulders and kind of mumbles to himself, very unhappy with his current situation.
Why don't you go ahead and roll a perception to just kind of to take in, you know, the lay of everything.
16 plus 3, 19.
We'll see, you have like a horrible headache too, since you rolled the nat 1 on that.
Yeah.
Thing. You're still pretty groggy, and you just have the worst headache you've ever had in your life. But as you're looking around, you thought it was just the two of you in here, but you kind of look over to the cell next to you, and you see this person. You can't really make out anything other than it's something alive, sort of laying in rags down in the corner in the farthest cell. I guess it's next to you, though, so.
Can I, like, reach through the bars and kind of nudge him?
No, the bars are pretty close together.
Oh, okay. Is there, like, a pebble or something on the dirt floor?
It's like clumps of dirt and things. Yeah, you probably.
I'll take a handful and just kind of toss it at him.
Okay. You toss it at this sort of living thing, and it moves just a little bit, and you hear sort of like a grunt, maybe like a.
Hey, what are you in for?
Nothing. Maybe like a little movement. But like a movement like somebody trying to bundle up to get warm, like they're sleeping still, maybe.
I'll take a bigger clump of dirt. toss it a little harder.
So,
roll a strength, I guess. We'll see. See. Since you're groggy, maybe you'll throw it a little harder than you want.
Oh, well, no, 3 plus 4.
Okay, well, not your not your proudest curveball there, but you just kind of throw a bigger clump of dirt, but we'll say it's softer, and it just kind of hit him just, you know, on the back there. And the, this whatever it is, does kind of the same thing. You just hear like a,
So, would I see this happening?
Yeah,
or
we'll see, yeah.
Okay.
You, so, we'll say you see him just throwing dirt at something.
Okay. What's the light source?
We'll say, like, top, like, higher up windows that are letting a little bit of this well, a little bit of the light from the outside, and not sunlight because it's dark now.
But there's no torches or anything like that?
Nothing in the room there. It's relatively dark.
Okay. What are you doing?
Trying to find out what this other being's in here for.
There's something else in here?
The cell next to me. You know, you probably couldn't see it because your nose was buried in that thing.
Clap it shut and put it in my backpack and go, you've got my full attention.
Will you two shut the fuck up?
Suddenly, that pile of rags that you were throwing dirt at earlier, Cavagal, starts to shift quite a bit. And then emerging from it is this average height but fairly attractive human female. The first thing you notice about her is that she has just the absolute most gorgeous long red hair. The second thing that you notice about her is that she looks just absolutely irritated at the sight of you two.
Really? Trying to get some sleep over here? You mind shutting your mouths?
I just really wanted to ask you what you're in for.
Ugh, that's a stupid ass question. I'm in here. What does it matter? You're in here. What does it matter?
I was just kind of brought here.
Oh, you didn't just walk in here on your own. That's what I did.
Sort of a sarcastic tone.
I kind of did, actually.
What?
Yeah, they told me to come with them, and so I complied.
Huh. For reading a book.
Better than fight the entire city guard.
I can see why you're in here.
So can I.
Sorry to have disturbed your nap.
She just kind of rolls back over and tries to get more sleep. And we'll say after maybe 10 seconds, she just gets pissed off and stands up.
Well, I can't go back to sleep now. Thanks.
Maybe kicks the little nasty thing of robes that she was, like rags and stuff she was trying to cover up with. And she just sort of pouts in the cell there with her arms crossed. Relatively young, relatively attractive.
So I have some candles in my backpack. I'm going to kind of, you know, I'm going to take like 2 or 3, just enough to where I can get like a light source, kind of put them on the ground, light them. Just around me so that I'm able to see clearer.
She will say she kind of looks like she's interested, but she definitely doesn't want to ask. And you of course, kind of see him doing his thing.
Planning on doing some nighttime reading?
Always. Mm. So, why exactly were you brought here?
For having a drink at the tavern.
I don't believe that.
Well, I didn't either. They said it was because I was so tall.
That doesn't seem
they said
very
it was,
fair.
And I quote, sinful.
They said something like that to me too, except it was when I was reading my book.
These people don't sound very, what's the word?
Tolerant.
Thank you.
They seem to like me.
Oh yeah, why is that?
I don't know. I came into town 5, maybe 6 days ago. Everyone seemed to really like me and enjoy me being here. I had a bunch of kids coming up, wanting to play. Everyone always asking me about my travels, and then I went to sleep and woke up here.
Maybe they're just not a fan of outsiders.
I suppose. I mean, I never heard of this town before. I don't know anyone who's heard of this fucking place before.
So you've been in here how long, then?
At least 5 days. Maybe 6. I'm not sure, really. Just know I've been down here a while.
Hmm.
She kind of looks like she's thinking.
So you've been in here for a few days. Surely, maybe by now you've figured out their routes, their tactics, any flaws in their plans? Any way we can maybe B-U-C-T out of here?
I'm sorry. Not to meta, but I was trying to spell that. I wasn't sure what you were saying. I'm sorry.
That was Cavagal's poor intelligence.
Oh, okay. That makes it even better.
They don't seem to have a routine. I was here by myself until they brought you down here. And the next day, you showed up. And for all I know, next they're gonna...
And then as soon as she starts talking, you hear that door kind of kick open again. And you hear these familiar grunts. Like, oh my god, this guy's so fucking heavy.
Alright, I'll just grab my book out and pretend I don't know these two.
They sort of dragging this thing, you can't really tell what it is. Looks like a giant reptile enclosed down the stairs. And sit down, and then they all just take a break. They're all, like, out of breath. Look at you guys. What the fuck you guys looking at? He's heavy.
I could help you.
Yeah. And they all kind of pick him up again and sort of drag him into the cell. And we'll say it's the one right next to you. So we got you and this new person on this side, and you and the lady kind of angled on this side there. So and they sort of chuck this thing. Well, they don't really chuck. I guess they drag painstakingly and put him inside there. And they start to kind of walk out, and they're like, get his thing. And he goes back and he takes any weapons that you might have seen off of this. What you now can tell is some sort of living creature. And they take his weapons and then leave. Lock it.
Question for Cole.
Yes.
Did they take my bear claw gauntlets?
Yeah, I said they took your weapons. So, but no, I'll say no. They didn't take your bear claw gauntlets. But remember, your hands are tied.
Right.
Behind your back.
Right.
What about the thing that was brought in? Was its...
All of its weapons were taken.
Was it tied?
Yes. Do you have a tail? Dragonborns have a tail?
They can.
Do you have a tail?
Yes.
Okay. Your tail was tied to one of your legs. I don't know. Something awkward. Like an awkward position. Like to where they're just like, he's so big. Let's just wrap rope around him. You can still stand and walk around all right. But yeah, hands kind of behind your back there.
Okay.
And we'll say as they throw this thing in there, you kind of hear it make some verbal noises, and then it sort of come to's and jump into role play there.
So I'll assume that's me.
Yes, that is. All right. That is Griff.
All right. Well, this isn't where I went to sleep at.
Welcome.
Hey.
It's not where I fell asleep either, but I didn't fall asleep.
I just came here.
Well, I have so many questions. I guess I'm going to roll a perception and see what's around me, because I'm still a little confused. How am I feeling?
You're feeling pretty groggy. Not too bad. I mean, you know that feeling when you sleep a little too much?
Yeah, I can feel it. It's a little too much.
That's how you're feeling right now. Like, you got too much sleep. Maybe you have a stomach ache. It's just kind of like a...
I mean, that food tasted good, but I'm going to guess I got roofied or whatever you want to call that.
Damn.
Well, I guess let's roll perception and see what I see. Well, a 12, and I don't think I have any kind of add-on. Yep. Well, a 12. That's what I... What do I see?
Well, it's pretty dark. You didn't put out your candles, right? Yeah, so you can see light kind of coming from your left, and it's enough to sort of light the whole place, and you see this other hulking, just huge, probably the biggest... I guess in your thought, like the biggest human you've ever seen in your entire life, and then this little dainty woman sort of off to your right.
Well, big person?
Cavagal.
Cavagal, okay. You said this isn't where you fell asleep. Were you in one of the rooms as well?
Oh, no. I was in the street.
Oh. can you tell me...
Dart in the back of my neck.
Oh, no, my experience was a lot different. What happened to you?
Wish I could tell you. I don't understand anything that's going on, so until I figure that out, I'll let you know.
So you were just casually walking down the street and a dart hit you?
Cavagal just turns.
And, so did you wake up in here too? Person?
No, I just came here. My name's Barlow, by the way.
Oh, okay. Barlow, I'm Griff. So you just willingly walked into a cell just to hang out? Or... What's going on here?
Well, I don't know the laws, and I figure I might as well comply as to not cause trouble.
So they at least told you guys you broke the law.
They just told me to come with them, and I did.
Okay. Oh.
Yes, they did. They said I was too tall.
Oh.
And I was reading a book.
Okay, well, at least we share something in common. How tall are you?
6 foot even.
Okay, so, well, not really sure. What kind of bars are we talking about? Like, is it something like where someone of my size might be able to just lean on it?
No, they're pretty solid. It's sort of like real thick rebar, and they're really close together, and there's just a lot of them. It's rusty and dirty and kind of gross down here, but it definitely looks better made than anything else you saw in this sort of tiny town.
So Griff is right next to me, correct?
Mm-hmm. Just got a row of bars between you.
Okay. I'm going to walk over to the row of bars closest to him, kind of reach in my pack and hand him something. Just kind of grasp it in my hand and hand it to him.
What's this?
Food. Figure you might as well, nourish yourself. I've got more for you guys, too. I'm going to give it to Griff, and he'll throw it over because he's bigger than me.
Well, I mean, here's some food, if you want to give some down to the whatever's on the far side of you.
I'll hand it all to the lady.
No, thanks. The one thing they have done is feed me. Food's been pretty good, actually.
Yeah, but I made this.
What is it?
It's like trail mix.
All right, give me some.
She sort of takes, your giant handful of it is like a third of a handful for her. She just kind of nibbles on it.
I just toss the rest in my mouth and don't say anything about it.
Well, I appreciate the food. I mean, I woke up with a pretty bad tummy ache, so, I mean, that did help. I guess I'm just going to sit here, and I guess we're all playing the waiting game? We're just going to hang out?
So is there a door at the bottom of the stairs?
It's like open stairs, like not even a railing or anything. Okay, and so then there's a door up top there.
Okay.
You can't really see from where you're at, but you just know it's there because when you came in. And you know because you willingly walked in it, that door will lead to literally just like a big open area, and then like the next door is to the outside.
So this is, of course, completely up to you, but I know that door is there. And how far away is it from me?
Like, including the stairs, 30-ish feet.
Can I use thaumaturgy on it to close it?
I'll see why not, I guess.
Okay, so I'll close it with thaumaturgy. It's a cantrip, so it's not like a spell or anything.
You just hear this real slow sort of door creak. I guess from your guys' experience, you just kind of see him look up. I mean, you don't have any, like, you don't have to, like, do weird hand gestures.
It's verbal, so I'll just say, like, close or something like that, and it just...
Yep. So you see him just close, and then you hear this kind of old wooden door slowly creak until it shuts.
So how are we getting out of here?
I'm going to roll something real quick.
Good.
Well, I guess before I find out the result of that, what would Cavagal's experience with magic be?
Very little. As we kind of mentioned earlier, any sort of magic or just really well, any sort of like high education is pretty well guarded and just not shared. And you where you come from, it's all about strategy, military, combat, martial stuff. So you know magic exists, but you don't really have that much experience with it.
If you can do that, why don't you just unlock the door?
It's not that simple. It doesn't work on locked things. Otherwise, I'd leave, like right now.
Well, you willingly walked into the cell.
Yeah,
so why would you break the rules to leave?
They said I had to come in here, not that I couldn't leave.
Does anyone's cell door appear to be any kind of damaged, or is there any kind of, from where I'm standing, is there any kind of damage on any of the walls around me?
Not really, no.
Look, I've been here for 5 days. You're not getting out of here unless they take us out of here.
So what you're saying is brute strength, magic, doesn't matter what we got, we're gonna just sit in here?
Oh, I don't have either of those things, so I guess I don't know.
And what do you have other than an attitude?
Let's see. I have 5 years of sailing experience, 4 years of combat training, a short temper, and 6 freckles on my ass. Oh, and of course my beautiful long red hair.
You see, she kind of thinks for a minute and looks at you.
You're red.
I am, yeah.
Anybody mention that? like it was something to be proud of.
A little girl walked up to me and was very happy that I was red. Seemed like she hadn't seen that color, I guess, that much.
Yeah. I don't remember seeing any red while I was in town.
What about y'all? You guys have anything red?
Red is a part of Barlow's, like, color palette, I guess, like the Kellenvor color palette. It's white, black, and red. So he's got, like, red in his vestments.
Well, what about you?
Kamigal kind of, like, thinks. He's thinking about his pale, grayish-blue eyes. No, that's not it. Thinks about his dark black hair and scruffy beard. No, that's not it. I do have some, you know, dried blood on the axe, but that's about it.
Hmm. How are we getting out of here? That's where we're at. Is if we're only getting out of here, at least by the girl's statement, they have to be down here to let us out. Y'all got any ideas on, can you open and close the door a ton of times just to annoy them? Like, maybe see if we can get one down here to, like, nag?
If it's unlocked, yeah. You mean the door I just closed?
Can you just play with it?
Absolutely.
So are you going to do that? Just open and close it?
Yeah, repeatedly? Just keep saying, like, open, close, just under my breath, you know, kind of pointing at it and whatnot.
Okay.
And the spell book says specifically that it slams, but, you know, I don't think that it has to, you know.
I already said it was like a slow.
Yeah. So,
and we'll keep it that just for flavor, that it's this really slow shut, and then this just painfully slow opening, just back and forth, but it's a really old, really creaky door. How long are you going to keep it up for?
Till somebody either opens the door or I hear somebody coming.
Okay. So 19 minutes pass of you opening and closing this door, and then you instantly hear, like, stomping, and somebody, like, it shuts, and then it swings open really quick, and somebody steps down here. What the fuck?
What?
What are you doing? What's all this noise?
I have to take a piss.
That's the noise?
Well, no, I mean, I don't know what you mean. We heard it, too.
Yeah, what are you doing? Like, why are you making so much noise? We're trying to take our time in peace.
You perv.
Sorry.
Oh, hey, before you go, I heard you wanted to have an arm wrestling match.
Is that true?
I can't say that I do.
Oh. Well, I just happened to hear one of the other guys talking about how, like, weak you were or something, and I don't know, I felt like it was pretty degrading. Degrading? Is that the word?
Yeah, I think so.
Degrading.
He sort of kind of looks, he's like, well, we're all weak.
Is that it?
We're all weak.
We're not.
We are.
We're
that's,
not.
That's why we need Gabrunta.
Can you run that by me one more time?
Just keep it the fuck down here. And he, like, goes to stomp back up the stairs.
But what's Gabrunta?
There it is. Okay.
He just ignores you and stuff back up. Slams the door, and you do hear a latch to it.
Well, that didn't get us very far.
So I'm going to use thaumaturgy now to create harmless tremors in the ground.
Harmless
rumbling.
Is it the ground you're standing on specifically? Because you're underground.
It could be localized on me. It doesn't matter.
It says a range of 30 feet, so I'm guessing anywhere with.
So it. By the door.
Yeah. So I'll say on the staircase.
Say, like, the stairs start to shake a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It just shakes and nothing really happens at all.
Okay.
You gonna keep doing it?
Yes.
Okay. You guys gonna want to do anything while he's tremoring the stairs?
Can I try to kick the lock?
Yeah, absolutely. Roll your strength, but take disadvantage because you're still pretty groggy and you're not at full strength.
So that means what? Roll twice?
Yeah, right. Roll 2d20s and take the lowest.
Yeah, that's a six.
Six.
Yeah.
So you don't break it. You just kind of kick it. It is pretty hard, though. And then this redheaded woman kind of looks at you.
Wow. Great job.
You know, I think I'm actually going to stop the trembling and switch to something else. Create an instantaneous sound that localizes on a point of origin of my choosing and just the most obnoxious screaming that I can muster.
Okay, where are you pointing it at?
The stairs. The stairs? Yeah. This isn't coming from me, by the way. I'm completely silent, but it's
Yeah. So this obnoxious is just screaming? Mm-hmm. Do you get to pick what kind of screaming at all? Is it like masculine or feminine? Does it matter?
So you know the sound machine that they used in Waco?
No.
Okay, so to get the Branch Davidians out, they used a sound machine that played like dolphins screeching and people screaming and stuff like that. To you know, make them upset and want to leave. That
I can't wait to find that and edit it in. Okay, well, we'll say that happens. Both of you, because everyone can hear it, right? It's just coming from that area. Both of you hear this.
It's really annoying.
And it's hurt. It's very uncomfortable because you both have headaches. You both feel like shit.
This better work.
So you just hear this. I'm not going to even try to imitate it, but you just hear this obnoxious, annoying scream that's just shifting pitches and volume, and it's just awful.
Kavagal will cover his ears and do his own howl of pain.
And I'll point to the others and go.
If we all scream like we're dying, the
kind of like come on.
She's the redheaded lady. Just kind of shakes her head, and sits back down. She wants none of this.
And I'll do it again. Like, come on.
Well, I mean, I'll try to make noise by shaking the door back and forth. Is there any kind of play in the lock where I could shake it?
Not really.
Oh, well, that ain't gonna do me no good then. How can I make noise with you?
Can I reach the ceiling above me?
The floor? You can, yeah. Just barely, but yeah.
Is it wood? With my...
Yeah, we'll say that you can touch it with your fist, just if you straighten out your arm totally.
So if he can reach it, I can reach it.
Mm-hmm.
But my hands are tied.
Oh yeah, both your hands are tied behind your back. So no, never mind. You can't reach it. So
can we hit it with our heads?
No, I don't think.
I guess I can't cover my ears then either.
Oh, that's true. Sorry, I'm terrible at this.
No, it's okay. We all forget things.
We can say you like went down and that kind of thing.
Okay.
So we'll say after a good like 40 seconds, which is a long time of just screaming, you hear the bolt click open and the door swings open again. And this same person, like, stomps back down. What?
What? What?
Why are we in here?
Why are you screaming?
I ain't screaming. Why are we in here?
Because you broke the law. You sinned. All of you.
What did I do?
In order for us to break the law, we first have to be citizens of which that law applies.
Well, that was really smart.
I don't know where I came up with that.
I don't know about any of that. But you're down here. You're going to be down here till tomorrow morning. And then that's the end of it.
What happens tomorrow morning?
Just be quiet down here.
No, quick question. One, are you the person that can let us out if need be?
No. I don't even have keys.
Well, what are you doing down here?
I'm just watching.
Wait.
Well, you're going to do anything. Well, like, scream.
You're going to be annoyed because we're going to do it the rest of the night unless you let us out. And if you don't let us out, the floors above us, are they made of wood? Is that what that is?
I don't know. I didn't build it.
Well, it looks like wood to me, and I can breathe fire. That sounds like it could be a problem for you above.
It could also be a problem for us down here.
I'm going to look to these two and tell them to do this. Like, cover their ears.
We can't. Our hands are bound.
That sucks, man. And I'm going to use thaumaturgy to make my voice three times as loud.
Jesus.
And say, what happens tomorrow?
Oh, God, he just, God! Like, it just absolutely startles him, even to the point where we'll say he's standing on the stairs a little bit, and he slips and falls, like, oh, my.
My headache got worse. Oh,
you pagan! And he just, pagan! Pagan! And then he just, like, stomps up the stairs again real quick.
So, I don't think we're getting out of here until tomorrow morning, unless we break out soon.
I could burn the building down above us.
I guess you could if you wanted the building to fall on us.
I mean, you could try your candle and burn a hole above you.
What?
It's wood. Candle.
I'm not a murderer.
It won't murder anyone. You're just making a hole and then you can hop out. Or, I don't know if you're tall enough. Probably not. But
is there bars above us?
It's just like the raw underfloor.
You could hand... Can't hit. I can't hold the candle. So I was gonna say you could hand it to me, but oh wait, can you
put your arms against the bars?
Yeah, I was thinking you like here. Go ahead and see if you can burn through that whatever's holding my hands together.
I'll take my hand axe and just cut them.
Yeah, that's a good idea too. Yeah.
I really want you to burn them off of me.
Will?
While they're doing that, I'm gonna try to pry one of the bear claws off the gauntlet and then use that to.
Okay. So while you're doing that, you notice as you're moving, the ropes are actually getting tighter, like oddly, and it's still just like one bound rope, but it's just getting tighter and tighter as you struggle. And then as you are trying to cut through it, it's not cutting at all. And as you are, it's getting tighter and tighter.
Well, I would suggest we stop this. This is getting very uncomfortable.
Okay. All right. I'll just sheath it again.
And again, I guess you being the only one here who has like a lot of experience with any sort of magical anything, that's going to be your first thought.
Yeah.
Is that there's some kind of magic on him.
Yeah, for sure. So that's, in case you guys didn't know, that's 100% magic.
Is there anything you can do about this?
Absolutely not.
Do you have any suggestions on how we can get out of here with two bound people and fire?
You could, I don't know, shut the fuck up and get some sleep.
What she said. And I just roll over and...
Look, I got some reading to do. You guys sleep, I'll wake you up in the morning.
Do you not sleep?
I do, but not at this time.
All right. Well, I guess good night, everyone.
Okay, well, we'll just speed stuff up here. I don't want you guys to feel railroaded or anything, but I don't really want to waste your time either. So we'll just say that you all try and get some sleep, with the exception of Barlow, who's going to stay up and read. But you guys are kind of unsuccessful. You just find it way too hard to get sleep in this place. So you toss and turn for quite a while, and then, you know, you just decide to accept that you're not going to get any sleep and sort of just chill out a little bit. And again, a substantial amount of time passes, and it's almost dawn, you think, like you can almost tell that the sun's about to come up, when the door at the top of the stairs opens and this large group of people begins to come down. Now, this isn't like before they would just run down, you know, hazardly as quickly as they could. This time it's really slow and it's in sync. You can't really tell how many people, but they're all stepping at the same time, and it's just really sort of almost like it's really well choreographed. So they come down the stairs and they kind of line up single file in front of all of your cells. And that's when you notice that these are the same people you've been dealing with, but they're dressed completely different. The only thing they're wearing right now are these sort of burlap sacks, that, you know, like a potato sack that they've cut the head and arms out of. And it goes down to about their knees, and then that's it. And they're stained kind of a darkish brown, maybe even like a crimson red color. On their skin is this sort of ash looking material, like it's a whitish gray powdery substance that's covering literally every part of their skin that would be showing. And that's it. That's all they're dressed in. No socks, no shoes, no jewelry or anything. Except for one man, who Kavagal, you notice almost immediately because he is probably about 6'5". So he's definitely standing a little bit taller than everyone else. He's an older gentleman. He has really long white hair that's sort of pulled back in a ponytail. And he's dressed the same way as everybody else, except he also has this medallion around his neck, and you guys can't really make out exactly what it is. It's just a leather strap with this sort of hexagonal piece of metal to it, and that's really all you can see. But he's definitely the creepiest looking guy out of all of them, because he has just this huge smile on his face. The rest seem kind of just stoic. He seems to be super excited that you guys are down here. He even sort of starts to pace kind of back and forth, examining each one of you, maybe even muttering a little bit to himself.
Yes. Yes, these will do nicely.
You know, he stops at the red-headed woman's cell and his smile gets even bigger.
Yes, they are perfect.
Then he walks around, you know, eyes Kavagal, eyes Barlow, and then again stops at Griff's cell and even puts his hand on the bars and just kind of stares at you for a little bit. And then he turns back to the rest of them.
Round them up with haste!
And then he heads up the stairs out of the room. So they're going to get you guys out of your cells, and we'll say they start with the redheaded woman. They go up to her cell. One guy just pulls out a key and unlocks it, opens it, and just walks in there and stares at her and says, come. And of course, she's absolutely over all this bullshit, so she starts to put up a fight.
Don't touch me! Get away! Get the hell off me!
But they you know, a few more come in and they sort of rough her up a little bit and drag her out of her cell and up the stairs. But the whole time she's screaming and kicking and making it as difficult for them as possible. So those guys leave, and then the remaining get in front of, we'll say, Griff's cell. And the same guy unlocks it, but instead of just him stepping in, about six or seven of these guys step in and surround Griff. And, you know, the main guy looks right at you and says the same thing he said to the redheaded woman. Come.
Why?
Come.
I mean, I can sit down and you can have fun carrying me all the way up those stairs.
One behind you sort of gives you a little push. Go.
And I sit down.
I'm going to put my book away at this point, by the way.
Okay. One of them pulls out this paddle-looking thing. It's basically like a rectangle of wood with a little handle on it. Sort of like a cricket bat, I guess.
Okay.
But a little bit shorter, and it has like these what look like leather studs on it. And he pulls it out. Up.
I mean, good luck.
All right. He just swipes you right in the face with it, and it does hit. You're going to take 5 points of damage. These are like leather studs that are built into this belt, and he just reamed you right across the face with it.
Well,
up.
Where are we going?
Up. I'm not trying to be difficult.
I guess I get up.
Out.
Okay. I'll walk out. I guess I'm going all the way upstairs.
Okay. So they'll sort of escort you out too, and then there's a few. So basically these guys are escorting you upstairs. There's a new group of people to take you sort of on. And so the next is you, Barlow. They kind of come to your cage. They don't step all into it like they did him and surround you. They just open the cage. Come.
I'll just stand up in preparation. So I was already up when they got there. I'll just kind of go, okay, and leave.
Okay. So they sort of ask you. And then they're all there, and they're all just staring at you for a couple seconds before they open the cage. They open it, and they all come in and sort of surround you.
Closest one, I'm going to headbutt.
Okay, I guess roll to hit.
That's a 3.
That's a 3?
Plus, I don't know, proficiency bonus.
I guess just your strength, just right? Strength? Your okay. Base attack bonus.
So, 7.
7. Now, you kind of whiff really bad to the point where they don't even know you were trying to headbutt. Maybe you just had like a weird kink in your neck. Go. Out. Same thing as with Griff. They just push your back. Go.
He's defiant, but he trudges along slowly.
Okay.
So you guys are all escorted out of this dungeon and back into the street. And it is just the three of you now. Once you get outside, the redheaded woman is nowhere to be seen. And the first thing they do when you guys are out there is they check your bindings. They check and make sure your hands are still bound well behind your back. Barlow, they do take this opportunity to put your hands behind your back and bind them with that magic rope now also. And then they begin to escort you through the town, which you guys see now as being completely abandoned. And as you're walking, they're not allowing anyone to speak. Maybe anytime you guys try to speak up or say something, they pull out those wooden paddles and just crack you in the side with them. And after a few times of that, you sort of decide it's better not to speak. But you guys are heading out of town through this sort of large field, and you come into this forest after about 30 or 40 minutes or so. Then you spend about another 15 or 20 minutes kind of drudging through this forest. There's no path. You're not really sure what direction you're heading. But eventually you come out of the forest into this large prairie. And really the only thing you can see is this rather large staircase, sort of this man-made wooden structure with lots of steps on it, and it goes really high, maybe about 30, possibly 40 feet. And the only person you see standing at the base of the steps is that taller, older gentleman from before. And once he sees you coming, his face lights up, he gets this really large smile. But that smile goes away when he sees you, Griff. As you are being brought towards him, he rushes up to you and looks absolutely concerned.
What have they done? What happened to you?
They were mean to me. I just asked a simple question.
You deserve so much better, my friend.
Well, can I be unbound if I deserve better?
He just laughs and begins to walk up the stairs, and you guys are being pushed a little bit, and you follow him up this rather large flight of stairs, and you get to the top, and it's just this flat stage. and you're taken to the end of it, and you're placed on your knees. Griff and Cavagal, you might try and resist a little bit, but again, those wooden paddles, they just hit you with them on the back of the knees, maybe both at the same time, and you have no choice but to go down. And that's when you kind of start to understand what's going on, because you see about 75, maybe 50 yards in front of you and about 30 to 40 foot down on the ground is this large mass of people, basically every person from the town that you were just brought from. And you guys are all in this huge prairie that's completely surrounded by forest. And this mass of people, they all are dressed the same as the people who brought you here, but their heads are down and their arms are stretched up and forward towards you, their palms open. And they're saying something. You can't quite make out what it is, but Barlow, you recognize it immediately as prayer. And you all sort of have this realization on what exactly is going on here. But then you look down right below the stage that you're on, and you see this really large, really dark black pit. Just this really large hole in the ground, and you can't really see that far down into it. The sun's still not all the way up, even though you feel like it should be at this time. So you don't really get a lot of light to see what's down in there. It is just a dark pit. And as you're sort of taking all this in, maybe coming up with a plan or an idea on how to get out of it, the woman in red appears, and she is escorted beside you and placed on her knees as well. But she looks a lot different than she did before. See, her shoulders down to her elbow are tied at her side. And then from the elbow down to her wrist is sort of jutting straight out in front of her. And you can see these rods that they place through her forearms to make sure that she cannot move her arms. And then her hands are open, and stitched into her fingers is this pretty large leather bowl. And you look at her and you can see that she's been crying, she's been roughed up a little bit, but she is in absolute shock. Then, just a little bit after she's put on her knees beside you, the taller, older gentleman sort of walks around behind you and stands next to the red-headed woman. And then he addresses his congregation and begins to deliver his sermon.
Brothers and sisters, today is the day for repentance. Too long has it been since we have tithed to the great below. Too long have we allowed our sin and lust to guide us. We have been lost to the world, wandering like mindless trogs. Well, today we wander no more. Today we return home as children, our minds untainted and our hearts open to the Gibraltar.
He then turns to the woman with the red hair and takes out this very small but very ornate-looking knife. It looks rusty. It looks covered in blood. It's been chipped. It has absolutely been used many times before. And he holds it up to the woman with the red hair, and he slashes her throat open. Blood begins to pour from her neck and fill up the bowl that she's being forced to hold. The tall man then takes his hand and puts it into the bowl, and then places it on the face of the woman with the red hair, leaving a bloodstained mark on her forehead. He then places his hand back into the bowl and does the same for Barlow. Back into the bowl, the same for Cavagal, and the same for Griff. And now, standing next to you, he raises his bloody hands triumphantly.
In with the oblation! Out with the blessings from God!
And then the four of you are all pushed off the stage into that dark pit below.